Our second Church Together statement to discuss this afternoon is titled Grace and Truth. So please pick up a copy of that at your table. Following Kansas City and the passing of the forbearance resolution and the membership guidelines resolution, many people have expressed a need for more clarity on what Franconia Conference believes related to these two national documents.
This Church Together statement has received significant affirmation, with points 3 and 4 being points of considerable attention. Point 3 says pastors holding credentials in Franconia Mennonite Conference may not perform same-sex covenant ceremonies. And point 4 says Franconia Mennonite Conference does not credential people living in same-sex relationships to serve in pastoral leadership. So a vote of yes for this statement reaffirms our current policy and says that this document aids us in moving forward as a conference. A vote of no says that there are questions and concerns with current practices, and this document does not move us forward as a conference. I'm going to invite Larry to lead us in our song, and there will be 30 minutes of small table group time and 25 minutes of open mic sharing.
Okay, they said, this discussion time will be 30 minutes. I will let you know when at 1:45, that's about 30 minutes, and I'll ask you to begin to kind of wrap up the discussion at that point. And it was not mentioned earlier, I don't think, by Jim, but in our table, we committed ourselves to confidentiality, and that is another good covenant for table discussion, that what you heard around the table from folks was shared openly and honestly, and respecting confidentiality would be a good thing. Well, what we want to do now is spend the next 25 minutes or so. We are a couple minutes ahead of time, which is a good thing, I guess. So we can take a little more than that maybe, but I know that I'll be reminded when the time is up. So what we have a microphone over here and another one over on the other side of the room. We'd like to invite you to come up and share what your table talked about. So hopefully, each table group has someone that has already volunteered to come up and share what happened at your group or what you would like to share. And so I'd like to throw that open now for anyone who would want to come up. Okay, good. We have a person that has started. And it would be good if someone would go to the other side as well so we can keep moving along. Where are we? Let's go here and then over here, and we'll bounce back and forth. Charles?
Charles Ness, Perkiomenville, reporting for Table 1. There was a general affirmation for the statement as written, particularly that it clarifies our current position, that we would see homosexual practice as sin, and as a matter of morality, and not a social justice issue. There was a lot of affirmation for point number 2, particularly around creating safe places for persons with sexual identity struggles to be able to share and find support and help in that process. We affirm the current position, but is there a way to allow for diversity among individuals and congregations around this matter? Let churches be themselves to live out their own calling from the Lord in the area of sexuality, and a strong call to stay together as a conference because we value our relationships.
Okay. Is there someone keeping time here? It's kind of hard for me to do it. Okay. Raise your hand when the minute is up. Okay. Let's go over to the left here. Is it? No. Tammy? Yeah.
Tammy Good from Satterton Mennonite Church, Table 24. And overall, there was an affirmation in the process that led us to this space today, and that there was a trust in the conference as we came together ahead of time, that voices were heard, and that views were held up in these documents. Our table was split as far as affirming and not affirming. Those that are struggling with affirming this said that they felt they could not use the Bible to oppress people, and that, but then on the flip side of that, the counter to that was that this has been, these views have been upheld for over 2,000 years, and that we are just affirming something that the church overall has always believed. I would say that a good majority of our table felt like we needed to continue to create spaces where voices could be heard, that we could continue to study and discern and pray together, that at times as a church we have not always done a good job at creating that safe space, and so we're hoping that the conversations and hearing of those stories can continue whether this is affirmed or not affirmed. Question was raised was, how do we figure out how to walk along someone in love, whether and still showing love whether we agree or disagree?
Okay, thank you very much. What I'm going to do, after a minute, I will just raise my hand so you can see that. I don't want to say stop or anything nasty like that, but I'll raise my hand real kindly, hopefully. Tim.
You know, this is a challenge, one just a few minutes. I hope everyone at your tables experience the type of integrity we did at our table. Although our views did not always coincide, it was a rich and meaningful experience that we could share from our hearts in the midst of this. We were 60-40 over the issue, with 60 supporting it. Those in support of it would affirm it wholeheartedly, citing scripture as a key component of why they thought it should be supported. Those that did not support it, one person shared their life journey of how 30 years ago they would have, and over the course of their life, circumstances, knowing gay people, interacting with scripture at a different level, brought them to a different point. There was concern also expressed that people of the gay community would be shut out from our churches and would not be able to express their gifts within the Christian framework.
Thank you.
I just got started.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much. Drick.
Drick Boyd, West Philadelphia Mennonite, table 23. We had one no, three yeses, one abstention, and one who is still trying to figure out how he's going to vote in the next 20 minutes. And I think the statement is entitled Grace and Truth, and I think our discussion kind of wavered between where how far grace, how far truth. And so from the no perspective, the thing that's most important is allowing congregations to do what they feel Jesus Christ has called them to do as a congregation. On the other hand, those who were voting yes for the statement are trying to uphold Scripture and follow the truth. Some discussion about the fact that the punitive side of this is really focused on the pastors, and for those in churches that want to reach out to the LGBT community, it really handcuffs them and in some senses threatens them. The word is review, but it feels like revoke when you read it.
Thank you, Jack. Over here, Phil?
Phil Lapp from Table 8 from Bethany Mennonite in Vermont. We were a split table, and we talked about how do we really read the Bible and to what extent it's a prescriptive code of morality. What are the long-term trends within the Bible? So when we talk about things like women in leadership, sexuality, slavery, polygamy even, what is the overall message versus you know, what may any particular Bible verse say? We talked about whether this is an issue of leadership. Welcoming may be okay, leadership is not. Someone made the comment about whether exclusion of marginalized people is really violence and how serious that may be. But we also talked about how we draw lines around where we do delineations in terms of who is, whether it's membership or leadership, this is not our only issue where there is some difference. there was a discussion around whether this is normalizing behavior that we may not agree with. And so even though there may not be a strong feeling, there's just a sense that it could be a problem. And I guess lastly, I'll just say there was a question of to whether there's a victim to this issue, whereas a lot of sins create a victim. Is this one of those? And again, the table is split.
Hello, Paula Maraleski from Perkiomenville, representing Table 26. We had overall affirmation on the statement, though there was some discussion about it. As for instance, on the one hand, we affirm the fact that it provides policy for pastoral leaders, but on the other hand, it also has that rule aspect to it. But we were all in agreement that we really need to be places of radical hospitality, but that we also need to couple that with being places of radical holiness. Only as the church really combines grace and truth will we really shine our light into the world. We also discussed the fact that there's a caution that we need to be aware of, that the church sometimes follows the culture, both in social issues and in worldview and perspectives, things like relative morality and a lack of absolute truth. We have to be very careful there. And finally, we discussed the fact that a lot of times people have trouble with this issue because one of their loved ones has become part of the LGBTQ community. And how do we as a church provide better support for faith, for family, for life, for the people who are affected and impacted by this issue?
Brandon Landis, Doylestown Mennonite. Our table 14 had 100% table affirmation. We often fail to put numbers to this type of thing to try not to ostracize people. But while the minority voice must be heard, if a function like this is going to have any weight, we have to submit to, you know, what the Spirit is moving at large. We felt that there was really no new information presented by this, as it's affirming pre-existing governing documents that kind of make us who we are. So the implications, if it was voted down, would have to be some sort of restructuring by its very nature. We did like that it provided clarity to what felt like potentially intentional ambiguity coming out of Kansas City. As a side note, I tend to come at it from a white suburban context, and culturally, we're being told it's not really a divisive issue in Asian communities, so we have to remember to broaden our horizons as we look at it. Radical hospitality, as it mentioned, is absolutely key, and it would not be true to the Spirit and then the testimony of Jesus to separate that from the truth or counsel we offer as a church. What does a review of those at variance mean when the rubber hits the road is a concern.
Time.
And point five is the prayer and fasting must continue past the formation and voting. As situations will arise, we can't even begin to discern.
Wayne Spiegel, Blooming Glen, Table 4. Our consensus was we're all over the place, and that said meaningfully. We are all over the place, and that is telling. There are representatives of the congregations for whom this up or down vote on this would mean continued involvement with Mennonite Church USA. There are others who feel like we, though we respect the process and enjoyed the conversation, could still use more time in this process. There is a desire to state the center of our values toward which we're headed and to not have a fringe, what many would see as a fringe conversation or a minority issue become a stumbling block for us moving forward. We'd like to move ahead together. You're probably not ready to have a motion, but there was some support for a motion to table this, which would give us more time to talk about it, also give those congregations that would like an up or down vote some time to decide, Is this really something that they're willing to leave the Mennonite Church on, or is it something that we can continue in conversation like we have around these tables?
Okay, thank you.
Hi, John Dirksen from Blooming Glen. I'm representing table number 10, and like most folks reporting, we're all over the place. We're mixed feelings on the topic as well as the statement. Couple items of feedback. There was consistently a question about whether we are skipping a step by not, if you look at after point number two, there's a call to action. And are we skipping a step by not taking action before we go to three and four? And also, there was appreciation for the fact that we're recognizing other sin, not other items that are considered sin as well. We're not just looking at the main issue here. And lastly, there's just a general recognition that grace and love are important to us all, but also healthy discipline, and there's tension there, and just a recognition of that.
Harry Anselmo, Lyon, Lexington, Mennonite, and representing Table 16. Our group generally affirmed the statement with a non-unanimous vote. We have affirmed Statement 1A, where the transforming power of the Lord to all people and welcoming to holy living. That was very key in our early discussion, and we appreciate that. We also appreciate the closing statement, Statement 5, where it talks about the commitment to prayer and listening. And we had some discussion on the listening part toward the end of our conversation. Listening to one man saying about a Quaker meeting who sat for 5 years before they could discern the will of the Lord. So we didn't come to the same conclusion that Wayne just expressed, calling for a holding of any kind of vote, but we did talk about that. We struggled a little bit with the word review, and we went to Barbie to talk about what that word meant exactly, and we were informed that it's the final decision will be from the ministerial committee. We appreciate listening and hearing that.
Okay.
We at table number 9 are as diverse as the rest of you are representing. We represent also that we believe that Jesus work in our diversity. We believe that we are one, that the one that is in the boat with us is wiser and bigger than any one of us. So we wish for trust. We wish for the ability to be able to stay together, pray together, and work together as we work through this situation. I am Margaret Zook, and I represent a CRM, and I would also pray that we would be recognized as CRMs as we work with grace and truth in the wider community.
Thank you. I think I'd like to, I see that there's enough persons that if we all stay close to the 1 minute, we can get finished by 2:15. So I would like to ask that no more people join the line. But I got to tell you, I'll be flexible on this one, okay? But I'd prefer if we would end it here. But if some of you have a last minute thing, you will not be denied. That's the prerogative of the moderator. How about that? Okay, over here.
Rob Tiedemann from Garden Chapel, representing Table 7. We didn't come to a conclusion on the voting necessarily. We actually had two abstentions at our table. But we felt, first and foremost, that based on the numbers that only 9% of professing Christians read their Bible on a regular basis, that is a number one issue that needs to be addressed first and foremost, adherence to Scripture and what that has to say. Because that addresses the other issues that have been brought up in the past. And also, even above creeds, is to be loving our neighbors, regardless of where they're coming from, and to love them as much as Jesus would as possible in all of our own ways.
Okay. Beth Yoder from Salford, representing table number 2. We also are not in agreement. We recognize that probably the primary places where we disagree are around homosexuality is seen as sin or not, and we differ in the ways that we interpret Scripture. We had also discussion about what review of credentials means, and at the table understood that perhaps it means immediate suspension of credentials with the possibility of dialogue, and we welcome clarity about that. There was voice given to those who continue to be in process about this, and a recognition that being actually in conversation with LGBT people and witnessing what the Spirit is doing in their lives is very significant to this. We also want to express that the sentiment that this statement does not allow for room for the ongoing discernment work of the church, which we are witness to, and would hope that there would be room for that.
Thank you. Over here.
Ron Aldifer, Salerton, representing Table 17. Many of the points we discussed have already been noted here. general affirmation of the statement, primarily because it reaffirms what we would call the traditional or church recognition of marriage, as well as upholding our confession of faith. We valued the language of transformation in the statement. We recognize greatly the tension between loving and welcoming and affirming a lifestyle that runs counter to church belief. And lastly, there was a couple of statements brought up where we feel that our culture has elevated sex to too high a level, and our churches have possibly elevated marriage to too high a level as opposed to singleness and things like that. And those types of rigid adherence can distort our relationships.
Thank you.
Lori Hershey from West Philly Mennonite, representing Table 21. We, too, were mixed with about three of the congregations represented, would be encouraged by this statement, felt that it was timely, it addressed things and bring clarity to the church and potentially a unifying place. One congregation would be, maybe the majority of the congregation would affirm this statement, yet there would be a minority that would not, and their voice is not often heard in the congregation as well. And one congregation does not affirm it and interprets Scripture differently, does not throw out Scripture, but interprets it, comes out at a different place on the interpretation. We also noted that the statement doesn't represent what we already see in our conference, where the Spirit is at work. Again, we noted that there is a difference of interpretation, and it's not noted in this statement. Also, we spoke about the unspoken fear that if this doesn't pass, that congregations will leave the conference. And also, can we look at division as an opportunity for growth and be able to bless one another if that happens? One last question. If we do take stands differently, can we remain in the same conference? We also had that question.
Chris Ann Swartley out of Doylestown Congregation, and I'm speaking for table number three. We noted that the statement is very complicated and complex, and that actually in many ways reflects the complicated nature of this issue. I could repeat much of what's been said already. There was diversity at our table. A couple of things that were a bit unique for us. We noted how context changes the conversation. Urban, suburban, or rural, it seems to be a different conversation. We wondered, what of singleness and celibacy? As someone just a couple of minutes ago noted, we seem to lift up being in a couple as a very high priority when Paul speaks about singleness and celibacy in the New Testament. There's also a concern that if we keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, that then there's no forward movement, and that's a concern.
Okay. Scott Franciscus from Covenant Community Fellowship, representing the table number 11. Some of our concerns, some of our thoughts, also want to point out at first that we did not take any kind of straw poll around our table, so we just had these comments. One concern was, how long will this document actually be in effect? Is there a re-evaluation period? If so, when would that period be? How long is it going to be in effect? I wanted to point out that the statement speaks to the leadership but does not exclude membership. The younger generation is more inclusive, and this statement could be seen as painful to those in the LGBTQ community. We all need to work on our own sin issues and temptations as a whole. Jesus says nothing about homosexuality. Another hopefulness of this was, I hope this process helps keep us together, trusting in the community and don't want to see us split. Looking at Acts, we need to be open-minded. Acts speaks of no human as impure. It was noted that even in our homes, we are being divided within just our home structures. The Holy Spirit does speak through the Bible and in this Bible, and wanted to reaffirm what is spoken in Genesis. Upholding the confession of faith. I got one more real quick, okay. Sorry. And if we can just take a holistic approach of speaking and discerning on Scripture regarding sexuality, not just on one issue, but looking at sexuality as a whole.
Okay. Over here.
Lowell Delp, Lyon, Lexington, table 27. I think our vote would have been about 70% for, 30% against. Issues that came up, how is it possible to support numbers 3 and 4 in this document if our goal is forbearance? And then it was talked about, we have differing views of forbearance, those that believe forbearance is simply stay in the room in spite of differences, and those that believe forbearance should lead to repentance and change. Local context was mentioned, confession of faith being descriptive or prescriptive was talked about. It was mentioned that we should be concerned when there are those who want conference to fix it. And the question of whether or not core values are determined by individuals and not necessarily congregations or conferences.
Thank you. Over here.
Penny Noggle, representing Table 22, and I'm with Rock Hill Mennonite Community. In our table, we were all glad to be in a communion that feels that this is good to be talking about. We like that this came after our discussion of people on the margins, because we certainly recognize that there is that aspect. In our experiences, any of us that have had some concrete experiences, the movement toward LGBTQ identification often comes out of a place of woundedness, and we know that there is healing in Christ. We don't wish any desire for affirmation would automatically call each any of us to be far at the conservative end, but our affirmation comes with various range of feelings and interpretations. We don't want anyone to feel repugnant of the cross or of Christian fellowship. And the recognition that we are all broken people.
Time.
Our hearts break and we cry.
Okay. Greg Law, Frederick Congregation, representing Table 15. We generally were in favor, our table, of the statement. There was affirmation for things like we thought it was good, we enjoyed that it referenced Scripture, it was bold, it was simple. We also appreciated the statements that we all fall short of the glory of God and that God calls us to reach out to all. There was concern that the last point under purpose and reason, in referencing the Saskatoon and Purdue statements, we felt there was someone felt that that was in conflict with the idea of being welcoming and open for point number one. And 2D, that they felt that there was a conflict there. How can you be open and yet you're trying to have openness when you're calling it direct sin? So they thought that that wasn't as welcoming as it could be. Also, that the idea that all the statements of reaffirm in the first part they thought was maybe too strong, because there is questions and disagreements within the church body as far as whether or not they were all that strong.
I'm Vija Long from Vincent Mennonite Church, representing table number 19. At our table, there was full affirmation of the statement, first and foremost because it upholds the confession of faith, but we also felt it was crucially important that it called us to radical hospitality, and we focused quite a bit in our discussion on item 2, B, and C. We felt that the need to be teaching and communicating in our churches about healthy sexuality, just even beyond the definition of LGBTQ, was critically important. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm Mary Beth Benner from Salford, representing Table 6. We had a variety of viewpoints at our table, and it was named that for some persons, they found that this statement is important as a basis for starting conversation on forbearance. They would find this helpful as that it could name what we believe and bring clarity for the conference. Whereas a different view that was expressed was that the hope that we could have congregational polity on this matter and allow different congregations to interpret on faith and life in different ways. A second way in which we had different viewpoints was some stating that on these topics of sexuality that we should have one interpretation of Scripture, and others stating that there's a variety of ways that we can interpret Scripture and a breadth of views that we can find in Scripture.
Promise not to make you stop me. Okay. My name is Mark Swartley. I am representing Table 12. I'm here as a CRO representative from Spruce Lake. Our table there's only five of us, so when you look at that, it's 80% affirming the statement. There was a strong conversation regarding a fear of judgmentalism or exclusion of people that are in the margins in affirming that statement, and it was shared around the table that this statement is a very good foundation, a very good acceptance of our sin, of our prior and past problems, and our condemnation of people that are not like us in the past. But it gives us a framework to say all are welcome and all are loved, pushing towards knowing Jesus Christ better in their personal lives.
Thank you.
I'm Angela Lawyer, representing Table 5. And we also had very mixed responses, as well as just some undecided responses. We affirm all five action statements to be held together and for it to not just be about points 3 and 4. We recognize that there was space for membership of the LGBT community with this document. And we also noted the when we are places of radical hospitality, we ourselves are open to what God is doing in ourselves, and so open to the transformative work of the Spirit in ourselves, as well as a concern about affirming our current position when the suicide rates in the LGBT community are so high. Is this really hope and good news for that community?
Jay Moyer, Covenant Community Fellowship, representing table number 18. The position of our table came out with strong affirmation of the document. We, as many have shared already, had a number of the same issues or concerns. We do still question the meaning and some of the clarity needed for that word review as what that all meant. Also recognizing the importance that we do live in forbearance, but to what end? Living in forbearance with the concern that the ultimate end is redemption, or living with the understanding that many appear to have still, and it's communicated throughout this body, we don't all see sin the same way. And we don't all interpret the Scriptures the same way, which puts a divide in the body. And so that would be my concern, that we continue to study the Word as well, trying to get a better grasp on what is and what isn't as we go forward as a conference, if that's where to be.
Thank you. Just want to mention that from my perspective, the way everyone who came to the mic shared is of, I think we were expressing honesty and transparency and differences of opinion in a way that from here felt good. What we're going to do now, I think, is just take 1 minute of silence. If you would just sort of call, you know, in your own time, prayer time individually, just before we vote. So I'll time this for a minute and let you know when that's up, and enter into time of prayer by yourself. Okay, for the grace and truth, 73% affirmed grace and truth. 18% did not affirm grace and truth. 9% abstained.